Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey Rich, could you tell me about Car and Classic, but in 90s Eurobeat?
No problem.
If you want to sell your car, get a slice of the action. You can choose a normal ad or an online auction. Doesn't matter what you sell, a Fiat or a Beetle. Every month your ads in front are for a million people. Ooh, Car and Classic, ooh, it's so fantastic. Ooh, Car and Classic, ooh, it's so fantastic.
Smith & Sniff is sponsored by carandclassic.com.
Fantastic.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
The listeners of this podcast never cease to amaze me with what they latch onto as funny and what they want to keep talking about. And I say this because no name full suspension bike guy, I mean, I get messages on social media about who he is or another one of his mates, or here's my version of what you were talking about in my local town. Loads and loads. There's some quite dangerous, dicey rides as well, possibly drug-fueled, a couple of the ones I've seen, where they you do the whole slip-off-the-pedals thing and basically chin yourself on the bar, and you go into that, like, you're still holding on to the bars, but the legs are fully out behind. You know, like, really early land speed record attempts on motorcycles?
Yes.
where the legs are fully horizontal and you're usually wearing swimming trunks and just small goggles. Well, it's kind of like that. I can imagine No Name full suspension bike guy trying a bit of that in the summer, the giddy summer nights where he's fully weeded.
Wasn't there a viral video of a guy on a sort of, you know, Tour de France spec downhill mountain, you know, somewhere like Mont Ventoux, doing exactly that, going full 1920s land speed record with his legs, like supermanning, basically.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're supermanning. You're so
committed. Overtaking everybody.
Yeah.
Well, it's good, because when they did it back in the 20s, I sort of feel like they did it because they knew there was something in aerodynamics. They just hadn't fully figured it out.
Exactly that.
It wasn't scientific so much as done by kind of feel.
Exactly. The same as taking opium. They knew there was something in it. They just weren't quite sure whether it was good, bad, a terrible idea.
Well, it's just, I always like those when someone had discovered some new way to get intoxicated, and there's that period where it's not illegal because the law hasn't caught up with the state of the drugs art. And so it's perfectly fine to take, you know, laudanum or something, or cocaine or something in 1901. And then suddenly the authorities go, hang on a minute, this could lead to trouble. But it takes a while for the law to catch up, and in that moment everybody is just perfectly legally off their heads.
Yeah,
not everybody,
usually in gentlemen clubs and places like that.
Yes,
because you have to be quite well healed in order to find such things.
Yeah, probably.
Like tea that comes from from China, it costs you a bit more because of the travel. It's all of that stuff, isn't it? And all of that. Yeah. It's all that. Nice. You know, well-travelled drugs and all that. I wrote down aggressive Ford STs. And the reason why I wrote that down is I forgot to say the other week when I had my, just after my birthday, I took the kids away to a downtrodden seaside town for the weekend. and it was really quite cold and miserable. but also the hotel was not as described. But besides all of that, I'm really selling it.
It was more on fire than you expected?
It was just not very good. And the room was incredibly small, not as I ordered a family room. And I'm thinking, a family of what? So
field mice.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. But nevertheless, the draw of the pier amusements was there.
Yeah.
And we hadn't done it for some time. So Daddy,
you love a dismal British seaside town.
I do love a dismal seaside town in Britain. I do, and it was incredibly windy. It was puffer jacket territory, and not indoors, outdoors.
Yeah,
not a rap video. And Daddy just wheeled out the big guns, bags of twopence pieces, bags. And we even went on some bad driving simulators. But crucially, other things. I noticed the seafront, albeit was very quiet because out of season and terrible weather.
Mm.
A high quantity of aggressively driven Fiesta STs. Couple of foci, might have seen one Mondeo, but they were all STs, all being driven unnecessarily hard in between the speed ramps. Because, you know, there's a speed ramp and then there's a gap of, I don't know, 50 metres, 80 metres.
Let me guess, did they all have to slow to half a mile an hour for the speed ramps because they aggressively lowered the suspension to an impractical level?
There was that. And there also, a lot of them were five up. So obviously you have to factor in the five upness, don't you?
Yeah.
So it did make me giggle because there were some people kind of trying to peacock a bit, but wasn't quite working in between the speed ramps.
Wait, now hang on, I'm surprised. You're saying five up.
Mm.
Were they all five up, or were some of them just a bloke and then in the passenger seat a very, very bored-looking young woman?
There was, I would say, half and half. Half guy in the seat.
That's your classic as well, isn't it?
It is your classic. And also the driver of the car with the bored girlfriend, he is either absolutely massive or so wispy and small you're questioning whether he's 18 or 17 and he can drive. There's nothing in between. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
And if he's quite wispy, sometimes has done something to the seats in the car, so they're on the floor, which just seems to magnify his slightness. And so you can only see a haircut going past with a man somewhere beneath
it. It's exactly that. It's like imagining a stoat driving a car listening to Pendulum. That's what it is. Ooh,
there's nothing like the thwocky beats of Pendulum in an aggressively lowered hot hatchback in a dismal seaside town.
Yeah, but of course you've got to have the window cracked down for A, to proclaim the music, but B, one of you might be smoking or vaping, so you've got the whole cloud coming out of the top of the window saga. But of course it's pissing with rain, so you don't want the window fully down because nobody wants wet upholstery. It's just so sad and annoying. But yeah, so it was good fun, as I've just painted the picture of it being just definite fun.
Come on, children, we're having fun.
We did, the day after, we did end up visiting a model village. And you know the love I have and the fascination I have for model villages.
Johnny, sweet, micro-scale urban environment.
There's a fascination, there's a talent for minutia. It's all about minutiae. It's all about minutiae.
Come, children, let us take in some minutiae.
But I noticed in this model village, this was a good one. I've been to it a number of times. And
are you allowed to say, I can see no reason why not, where you were, which coastal town were you in?
Great Yarmouth.
Oh.
Yeah, it was quite
a classic of the genre.
It was a windswept place.
It's very grey out to sea there as well, isn't it?
It's not the sea that even on a boiling hot day I want to take my clothes off and dive into. It's just not that kind of sea. No offence.
Well, it's the North Sea, isn't it? Which is one of the cruelest of the seas, I would say.
I'd say so. So we went to the model village, and it's a quality model village. It's called Merivale. I think it's called Merivale. And there's a penny arcade next to it, a vintage penny arcade. So all the arcade machines take the old school huge pennies, so look, Victorian era almost.
Okay.
There's some great stuff in there. But in the model village, I noticed the car game was weak.
Oh.
I think they switch out cars and people during different seasons because they repaint them or restore them because, of course, the British climate's quite hard on model villages. But there was an awful lot of fairly generic cars. In fact, I did take a number of photos, and I was going to put them on social media, but then I thought this could be overkill because I took a lot of photos. So So I haven't. Well, for our patrons, I'll put some photos up if you really care. But I noticed.
I'm going to assume at least some of our audience does.
I think some of our audience might care, but there was an awful lot of like Audi Q7s. Yeah, I know, which is disappointing. Bit too modern.
At least they're identifiable as a car, though. I thought you were going to say they're just like generic, as in it was sort of no name, off brand. Like all the cars were out of insurance adverts on the telly.
No.
It's a bit like a Clio, but they've done something to it for legal reasons.
No, it wasn't that. And and actually, on the way to the Model Village, when we were walking, I said to the kids, "Let's go down some side streets just off the seafront, just to see what the town's really like." And we found this absolutely amazing single cab pickup Ford Ranger. You know, the low two wheel drive, low ranking one.
Yeah.
Old school, kind of like, well, not old, that old school, early 2000s perhaps. And it was white. Yeah. It was white at
local
some point.
Local council mower transport.
Yeah, that. They don't need to go off road. That. So there was one of those on the side of the road, and I took a photo. It was so covered in algae, it almost looked green, not white. But the algae had been there for so long that people had written in the algae. So obviously on the driver's door, it says something like, "I wish my missus was this dirty."
Textbook.
Someone had written "fuck me" on the front wing, which I thought was unusual, because why would you on the front wing anyway?
Fuck me, or fuck me exclamation mark, fuck me question mark, or just fuck me on its own.
Let's just have a look. Hang on. I did take a photo. No, it just says fuck me. And then on the bottom of the driver's door, in the corner, I can't quite work it out from the photo I took, it either says O! Halal, or it says anal. I can't remember which one.
But there's an exclamation mark after the O.
I think it's O-H exclamation mark, and then it either says halal or anal. Whichever way you look at it.
Things that you shouldn't get confused, but interesting either way.
I just want to know who drives around in the algal Ranger, because it's so algal.
Here he comes, the algal Ranger.
It's
gonna mow a municipal cricket pitch.
That's it. I'm gonna smoke the dirty rollies and wear army surplus trousers all year round. Do you know what he will be? He will be good mates with No Name Full Suspension Bike Guy.
Oh yeah,
they will roll one another's six absolutely for each other, won't they?
I mean, maybe he is No Name Suspension Guy.
Maybe he is
Suspension Mountain Bike Guy, because that would explain some things. I don't know, but no, you're right. Probably mates. They're mates, aren't they? Because if you're mowing the municipal trail, and he's not ride-on mower.
No.
I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he's got a trailer.
He might have a dirty little zero-steer job. I do quite like the dirty little zero-steer.
On a trailer behind the two-wheel drive low-rise Ranger.
Low-rise,
But he's got hand, you know, sort of just normal electric. No, he wouldn't be there. The petrol mowers.
Oh, be fuel, yeah. There's a load of jerry cans in the back.
Badly secured jerry cans in the back.
That's right.
And he's off to another municipal area.
He is.
But he's got, you can kind of set your own schedule with that, I think, can't you? That kind of job, maybe? I don't know. But I feel like he could, what I'm saying is he could spend a good amount of time just leaning on a mower handle, chatting shit with No Name Full Suspension Mountain Bike Guy.
Oh, completely. And they'll take about an hour and a half tea break trying to work out where they're going to score from tomorrow night. Because, you know, those are the sort of important things in their life going on. Where are we going to score to? And stuff like that. Yeah, no, I really... And when we got to the Model Village, I've just found there was a little car dealership in the Model Village.
Oh, I think you sent me a picture of this.
Is this with the turntable spinning a little bit too fast?
Bit too fast, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the revolving plinth in the window. I'm actually bringing it up on my phone now.
Because if the scale speed, like if that was full size, it would have been it was sort of going at about
30 miles an hour. I mean,
definitely you'd have broken a leg trying to get on it while it was in motion.
Oh, completely. So there's a lady on the, or you know, a little model lady on the bonnet, and she's not in a great way. I'd say she's gonna feel nauseous. And then there was I will forward this video to patrons. There's what I think a Peugeot 407. Yeah, Peugeot 407 next to a Jag XK with a body kit, so it could be an XKR, a Mini 1, and then a couple of Q7s just littered about the place.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. I have to just bring this up before I forget. Talking of turntables, and last week we were talking about a rugby lad in a nightclub spilling a tray of drinks for reasons I can't remember onto a dance floor and causing a sort of
diagonal running, wasn't it?
Lager based foam party. Yeah. A chap who calls himself Draw with Dan on our YouTube comments said, my mate was once heavily sick on the turntable dance floor in the Floating Ship nightclub, Tuxedo Princess in Newcastle. I think quite a famous venue.
Tuxedo Princess.
The sight of the sick gradually spreading across the moving floor and various clubbers losing traction and being slow motion ejected from the turntable was something truly beguiling to behold.
Oh, that's awful.
What a beautiful image that paints of that the legendary nightclub.
The Tuxedo.
Is it still there? I think it's gone now, hasn't it? Tuxedo Princess.
I've never been to a floating nightclub.
Did you never go to the infamous Volkswagen boat party at the Geneva Motor Show?
No, I never did. Did you?
I went to one. They stopped it soon after. Nothing to do with me.
Yeah, was there sick on a revolving dance floor that came out of your mouth?
No, but I do remember there was some sort of... It was one of those ones. It was kind of... I guess normally it was a kind of floating nightclub or restaurant or both, but it used to be, famously for years, at the Geneva Motor Show every year, Fiat would rent this boat and have a massive party on it. And then I think at some point somebody in Turin went, why are we spending all this money just to get freeloaders drunk? So they stopped and Volkswagen stepped in and started doing it instead. And I think I went to the very last one they ever had before they too went, what the fuck are we doing? This is completely stupid, because it can't have been cheap, because as anyone knows about Geneva's not a cheap place. And when the motor show's in town, all the prices mysteriously go up.
Oh, ridiculous.
So hotel rooms are suddenly like 900 quid a night.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, it was one of those things where you just go, I think everybody on this boat has had a little bit too much to drink. It's just, and it's that odd sense where sometimes you go, oh, I think I've had a bit too much to drink. Oh, no, it's the boat. The boat is just gently moving.
It's the boat.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So,
I remember walking around Geneva a while ago now, would have been quite long, I don't think it was with you, it was with another journalist. We'd arrived late and we thought we'd just have a little walk before bed down by the river and stuff.
I think it's a lake.
Sorry, a lake. No, there was a river as well, wasn't there?
Is there?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe. I suppose the lake's got to fill up from somewhere. I assumed it was glacial runoff.
Glacial, we've all been there. Outside this posh hotel was a Bugatti Veyron. And as we were walking closer to it, neither me or the other journalist said anything. And then a Hyundai Equus pulled up behind it. Ooh. And we both went, oh, Hyundai Equus. Because you can't get them in Europe, and we were a bit like,
no.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a 20-point spot straight away. Fuck the Veyron.
Well, Veyron's fine. I mean, interesting and obviously seldom seen. But I was a bit like, by that point, I guess I was a bit over them. I was a bit like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a fast TT with more cylinders. But, Hyundai Equus.
Yeah, that's about sums up, doesn't it?
We met at the Geneva Motor Show. I know, we've said this before, didn't we? That's where we met. I'm sure of it.
I thought we met at the Goodwood Revival, didn't we?
Yeah, we might have done.
I think we met at the Goodwood Revival and we ended up, didn't we go, we walked down the lane to, there was like a sort of open air bar thing with hay bales to sit on, as there always is at stuff like that. And you somehow badgered me into drinking a pint of really strong cider.
Ah, that's right. I think that's a good idea, wasn't it?
Because I don't really like cider, and you were absolutely adamant that even if I didn't like cider, I would like this.
It was quality gear.
Feel quite giddy.
I think it's the sort of
leaves in it.
The no-name full suspension bike guy in me came out that night.
Well, I don't know. He'd just probably have a sort of plastic 2-litre bottle of Thatcher's, wouldn't he?
Or he'd have a can of. I took a photo of it in the supermarket the day before yesterday. I've never sent it to you. It was the strangest name of semi-no-name energy drink. Here we go. It's called Dark Thunder Zero Blast. And it's got...
There's a lot to take in there.
There's a lot to take in. That's why I was confused. I read it three times and then I thought, I'm going to take a picture.
Dark Thunder
Zero Blast. And if you imagine the... there's a big capital T, like a Thor, I reckon a rip-off Thor T, and it's got sailor tattoo-style rope inscripted around it, and then Celtic, and then sort of Celtic jagged patterns coming out from behind where it says Dark Thunder. I've got no idea what... Right. I think it's Zero Sugar, which is why it's called Zero Blast.
Ah, okay, yeah. The Zero I was wondering about.
Yeah, I think it's Aldi's own brand of naughtiness. But it says it's mixed citrus-flavoured energy drink with taurine, caffeine, barely any vitamins and sweeteners.
Taurine and caffeine in it, jeez. Oh, but is it in a big can?
Oh, yeah, tall, fat can, yeah.
Yeah.
No name, full suspension bike guy. He'll have three of those just before mowing some municipal lawns and licking his lips like mad.
I was reading last week about some Four Loko. Do you know about this in America? Hmm? American listeners will be well aware of this, but a sort of, it was, and it isn't anymore because they made it illegal. It's a boozy energy drink.
What's it called? Four Loko? Like
Four Loko.
Four Loko.
Four as in the number four, and then Loko, L-O-K-O.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 12% originally. But so it's like, and it's in a fat can.
What?
So you're having a big fat can of wine, essentially. It's that sort of strength. But it's also got taurine and caffeine in it.
Oh,
or
my.
It did do.
Oh, my.
There were loads of cases of students, particularly, because obviously, it's, you know, it appeals to the kind of power drinking, you know, sort of the cost
party
to booziness ratio is got to be pretty good at that strength. But loads of students were getting hospitalised because at the point where you'd sort of go, oh, I feel a bit drunk, I better slow down, the caffeine and the taurine are punching you in the gut and going, yay, up and at them. And so people were just drinking far too much of it and getting ill and hospitalised and stuff like that. But
bloody hell.
It's just, and so they outlawed it and it's relaunched without the caffeine and the taurine in it. But then just to, you know, kind of compensate for that, some flavours are 14% now.
What?
In some states, not in all states. Some states, they won't allow that. So it's, if you go to Florida, unsurprisingly, you can have a 14% dark fruits flavoured fat can.
It's just giving me... You'd be 10 centimetres dilated by the time you drank that full can,
God.
Wouldn't you?
I know.
And you'd be on your way to work, stuck in a traffic jam.
As you can tell, I spent slightly too long researching Four Loko, all off the back of just simply reading an American making a throwaway joke about it. And I went, oh, I heard of that stuff. How have I heard of that stuff? And having to look it up. And yeah, it's bananas. But originally, until it was outlawed, a strong booze energy drink.
Do you think the Four Tops with going loco down in Acapulco, do you think it was influenced by them? When they did go down to Acapulco.
We'll be drinking Four Loko down in Acapulco.
They were going through a low patch because obviously they hadn't had a hit for a while and they thought, here's what we're going to do. We're going to drink a load of budget booze and other stuff down in Acapulco. We'll get a cheap deal. We'll stay in a static caravan. And we will come back with a hit record, guys, because if we don't, this is it.
It's all
this
over.
This is absolutely it. And we'll hire a Suzuki Alto and we'll just go around the island because, you know, that's the sort of car that you'd hire. And you'll all cram into it.
Do you know what? I wonder if there's actually a place called Acapulco in Florida.
I bet there is. So what, they don't...
There's all this, you know, you come into, like, I've been to a place called Naples in Florida, which is basically like Jurassic Park for people. But so there's a town, I bet there's a town called Acapulco in Florida that's one of those towns where Americans go to get drunk.
I bet it is. And I bet that's where all of this comes from, the Four Loko thing.
Maybe.
I bet it is. Uh-huh. I bet it bloody is.
Well, I'm sure some of our listeners,
in
the US will know. They'll set us straight because they're very good at doing that. And have you ever been to Key West?
I have never been to Key West, and I'd like to. I keep fantasizing about it. I'd like to drive. I'd like to do the Keys road trip anyway.
Yeah, it's nice. Key West, lovely place, you're in the sort of in the town, and you do sometimes just get this sense that it's where Americans who normally live quite sober and sensible lives go to get absolutely shit-faced in a public setting.
Yeah. And then cast a fishing rod into...
someone's eye.
Yes, I was going to say, or their own hand. They cast their own hand out to sea.
Although, if I want to talk, I went to some friends of ours it's a long story, but they bizarrely ended up owning a fishery And yes. Some friends of ours. Now, neither of them has any fish experience. In fact, our friend Lewis is or was a car salesman and
bought a fishery.
They bought this failing fishery in Bedfordshire.
What?
Yeah, sort of almost on a whim, and have turned it around, and it's now quite thriving. So we went up to see them, and they've got their little, what would you call it, like the sort of baby pond.
Yeah,
where they have the. And so their boy's the same age as our boy, and so he said, "Let's go down. We're going to just get some, you know, catch some fish in the little baby pond, and throw them back. Obviously, we're not going to try and grill them." And I've never really been fishing in my life, and it was just an hour of me constantly putting hooks through my thumb. It was a freaking nightmare. And trying not to show that it hurt because I was in front of my son and other people. But basically, and every time Lewis turned around, he'd be like, have you put it through your thumb again? I was like, yeah, I have. Yeah, it really hurts, actually, yeah. So
that sounds
it's not exclusively drunk American.
I used to fish a lot, but now I don't fish at all. I'm the other way around.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was, like pre-teen and sort of mid-teens, I used to fish loads. Coarse fishing, never did sea fishing. But yeah, always canals and...
So you confident you could...
A bit of lightweight poaching here and there, but, you know, different times.
You're pretty confident you could bait a hook without putting it through your thumb?
Yeah, I'm quite confident I could do that. I used to be able to wrap my own spool, or whatever they said. Whatever they call it. Yeah, I used to better do that. Yeah.
That's pathetic. Why am I giggling at that? It's like when I said to you, what did I say the other day? That I said I've got the builders in, and then immediately had to suffix it with not a euphemism, because it sounds like a euphemism. I don't even know for what.
It's because we are a pair of twats, and we laugh that's about it almost anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why, in fact, I sent you the message that I sent you, which was barely even funny. Why didn't they ever make the Mondeo ST Elmo's Fire edition? See?
But I was going to reply to you, and then I just didn't.
It wasn't funny enough, so you didn't reply. I know.
Well, that's it. But I thought my reply was even less funny, because I was going to say they could have just started selling Mondeos through Marks & Spencer with the ST Michael edition. Which
that's actually funnier.
Overseas listeners, I can't even be bothered to try and explain that because it's so weak. But
Fiesta ST Elmo's Fire, Elmo Fire. I think it could be good. It could be good. Anyway,
because I have got the builders in at the moment, and I've realised this has led me to, like, literally have got some builders in my house rebuilding our kitchen, and I've realised I've got that thing where the electrician came in. And we had to sort of decide where we want sockets, because we're having the layout changed a bit. And of course, you know, I'm going a bit overkill, because I said to my wife, you can never have too many sockets. So I was like, yeah, one there. And she's like, just let's, the whole wall will be sockets. Let's calm it down a bit. But what I've also realised is I'm trying not to do that thing where you desperately try and ingratiate yourself with the builders by trying to use technical terms for things when you don't really know what they mean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so absolutely.
I did at one point. The builder went, "Oh, you know, we could move the radiator a little bit over there." And I was like, and I went, "Yeah, well, I mean, if you shifted the rad up there," and I was like, "Don't say rad." You see, if I was talking about a car, I would have no problem saying rad, because sometimes you do, don't you? But
you're, I was like, yeah, you're out of your depth.
I sound
now,
like
you?
I'm trying to use lingo.
Yeah. It's like me talking about football to another dad and using the term like top bins or something. I'd immediately be sniffed out. I'll get sniffed out.
He's got an extra yard in his head. What?
Yeah. I'd said something, but I wouldn't have said it with conviction.
People who use these terms every day, or maybe don't, because in fact you sound like a dick using them. I don't know. That's the problem. Part of the problem is you don't know whether these are legit terms. But the one I almost did yesterday and I stopped myself was when the builder went, he told me the electrician was coming in, and then later on I was going to ask him what time the electrician was due.
Yeah.
And I was about to go, what time's your spark arriving?
Oh gosh, don't.
And I thought, don't you dare. You haven't earned the right. It's
don't,
like, you know,
you
when
dare.
You know when you meet somebody new and you realize that some people who've known them for a while have a nickname they use.
Yeah.
And I don't think if you've just met somebody, even if everyone around you is using that nickname for this person, you've got to ease into that nickname. You don't have the right to use the nickname from the off.
No.
You've got to use their real name for a bit and then see how it goes.
Yes.
Because you don't know the history of the nickname.
No.
Particularly if it's something a little bit opaque. And you go, what? So, sorry, why do you call him Dustbin? Or Cat Shit or something? What,
it's always that. Yeah, it's always Cat.
Yeah.
Cat.
It depends. But so I've had to restrain myself to the point where now I'm sort of talking to the builder a bit like a Victorian, where I'm just trying to speak incredibly sort of precisely using the full and conventional words for things, and I think he probably thinks I'm a bit weird.
You've gone full circle. You've gone from pretending to have some knowledge to almost now admitting that you're one of these people that wakes up in the morning and has to be dressed by someone. And,
yes, okay. Yeah, I thought we just moved the radiator about 200 up that way, and I'll be like, the radiator? Yes,
can you move it 12/15 of an inch?
200 what? Yes,
can you? 7 yards.
Let's move it 4 hands this way, and then no, not quite that. But I'm just. Don't use other people's lingo when it's not your world and you don't fully, you can't use it with confidence. That's what it is.
Yes, that's it.
You know, if I sort of looked into the engine bay of what had clearly been a, I don't know, modified Metro.
Yes.
I wouldn't pause before going, bloody hell, has this got a blower on it? And no one would go, he said, blower, what a tit. He doesn't know what that means. Because I do know what it means and I would use it in conversation sometimes.
That's right.
But when I'm talking about electrical things in a kitchen, you know, even I was gonna say two gang, and then I thought, don't say that, because it might mean something different. It might not mean what I think it means.
Well, I'm gonna move on to a letter from a listener, actually, which is something we don't do enough of. You know that.
No,
we've got the honestly, if it was a real sack of letters, it would be someone's spare room.
Yes.
So I do apologise to all listeners who don't get a reply.
Christ alive, we've been doing this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Almost. No, we have been doing.
No, we're doing 3 and a bit years. Yeah.
This is like, you know, those amusingly shaped buildings where they keep road grit.
Oh yeah, I drove past one the other night when they were full grit mode, full. They were.
Oh, what? So it's dark and there's like loads of really powerful lights.
That's
on.
It. And there were those little bobcat diggers,
great,
you know, the skid steer bobcat diggers that really they don't really drive straight. I don't think they can drive straight.
No, it's like having a little robot, isn't it? But there's a bloke inside it. It's great. I always look at those when they're in full grit mode with all the lights on and go, God, wouldn't it be cool to work there? And you sort of go, well, maybe not, because it's probably quite cold, but it just looks like, because you've got a job to do.
When it's, you're helping urgent. The nation.
Exactly.
Can you imagine, though, if the head gaffer drives a Fiat Mira Fury, so he has to park 3 miles away and walk into work.
And then be hosed down before he can go back.
Yeah, it's almost more dangerous than working near a nuclear power plant.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. He has met up, even if they're not really doing much with grit that day. He has met up because he has, in fact, decided to come to work this morning in his Alpha Sud, and he cannot risk even a fleck of grit getting near him.
He walks to work.
Do you want salt
in
on those chips, Gaffer? No. I've got to get back in my Alpha Sud.
He does. He just walks to work, so all of his frilly Italian cars are locked away and hermetically sealed, and he walks to work like 18 miles. It takes him hours. Can't get anywhere near the gritter bay.
Why don't you just buy a more galvanised car? No.
Not doing it.
I only like old cars. Well, get a 90s Audi. They're Golf. Just get... No. Golf. No, what I've actually done is I've bought a 1981 Citroën Visa. And I see no problem with that, as long as I only go near it once I've wrapped myself in cling film to make sure none of my work salt gets near it.
Oh, the work salt. I mean, it's making my eyes itch just thinking of the possible connection.
Anyway, I think one of those salt buildings full of letters is what we would have if people actually sent us letters. But
a salt building full of letters. So I've got this is dated back to January, just to give you an idea of how slow and stupid we are. But this is a lovely email.
Don't say which year.
This is a lovely email from Richard Bowler. And he said, "Dear Richard and Johnny, I'm a long-term listener and now a first-time emailer. Johnny mentioned in a podcast riding the lightning, straight piped slow ped guy. And this brought me some great amusement as it immediately took me back to 2002 when I was 12 and I was growing up on a mobile home park in the West Country. Nice. In order to traverse the mobile home park, you had to follow a 10-mile-an-hour heavily restricted one-way system all the way around, and I lived on what I like to think as the Mulsanne Strait of the site. Around the corner from us was a guy who must have been about 4 years older than me, and his weapon of choice was a Piaggio Typhoon, which was about as much of a typhoon as a guff in a bath. The Typhoon would have been a few years old at the time and had obviously spent its entire life kept outdoors, so it was a two-tone of what I would describe as faded road salt bin yellow and Mark I Freelander bumper black. Of course.
Lovely references.
Which is great references. Of course, it was equipped with the straightest of straight pipes. Now, the one-way system around our home park was very meandering, so you could hear this 50cc motor enter from some distance away, and then it would fade in, and then fade out, and then fade in, very much like a wasp or a blue bottle trapped in the curtains trying to escape a closed window. You would then hear it enter the Mulsanne Strait, where the twist-and-go throttle would be fully lit. Love the term lit. Now in 2002, we were very much still rocking the analogue terrestrial television. And as if the song of the typhoon's flatulent pipe wasn't enough, the real sting in its tail was the intense interference it would cause to our living room television. I love this. A storm of snow would descend over the screen and our ear-numbing hiss, which would usually last just long enough to miss the crucial plot twist in that drama or the breaking news headline, or most importantly, the lap time set in the Suzuki Liana that Sunday evening. This would almost be immediately be followed by him on that fucking bike from my dad as the typhoon finally faded out of earshot and, more importantly, stopped jabbing our signal. Luckily, by 2003, two things had changed. We upgraded to digital freeview and SPSPG passed his driving test, where the typhoon was swiftly replaced with an MREG Fiesta Mistral. Nice detail. Its most distinguishing feature being how he'd rattle-can the rear quarter panel after some light accident damage, but without masking off the rear lights, giving them a bit of a Boy George eye makeup effect. But that's a story for another time. Keep up the good work and all the silly conversations. Richard, age 32 years and 11 months. Thank you, Richard. Well, what a great story.
That's fantastic. Yes.
In the typhoon. I hope if anybody else has got any untrusting stories about very noisy but slow moped people.
Yeah. The noise to performance ratio has to be wildly out of whack or wildly huge differential, if you see what I mean.
There was some seafront tromboning, actually, going back to when I was in Yarmouth the other week. It was quite a lot of sort of loud but not very impressively fast. Sort of like, you know, like the theme tune to Johnny Briggs, if you're a child from the 80s. It just sounds like someone's aggressively tromboning after you down the road. Yeah.
So, crikey blimey. What? I forgot to tell you about... This has just reminded me. This is sort of relevant.
Yeah.
I had to go to drop a parcel off.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No, again.
No, it's just not. Checking.
I mean, this is also an irrelevant detail. The point is, I went to a little post office based in a sort of convenience shop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To drop something off. And opposite the shop, there's a side road, and on a driveway of a house, there's a Lexus, or a Toyota Sora.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, is a nice thing to see, a rare thing to see. You don't see them every day.
No, you don't.
On someone's drive. And the bonnet's up, and the bloke seems to be doing some fiddling around with it. And then I went in, I dropped my package off. When I came out, as I was sort of just finishing my transaction, I could suddenly hear this enormous amount of noise from outside. And as I came out the front of the shop, the bloke was doing a burnout on his own drive.
What? In the Sora?
In the Sora. But I was like, what the merry fuck are you playing at? Because if that had gone wrong and the car had bitten, it would have just launched straight across the road and like up the drive opposite, I guess, and into his neighbour's car.
Oh, my gosh.
It was such a bizarre high-risk thing. And the Sora was sort of not quite fully on the drive. It was poking out onto the pavement, which is how I could see it and clock it from across the street. But, yeah, you know the noise that a burnout makes?
Oh, I do, very much so.
It's an angry, aggressive
Was he on the limiter noise, or was he backing off a little bit and fluctuating the gas?
I couldn't hear the engine, but then straight six, I'm guessing.
Yes,
on that.
Lovely.
Could have been a V8, but I think it's probably a straight six. Very smooth.
Yeah.
But yeah.
On his own drive.
I know. And it was like, but then, and there was smoke as well, just the smoke. And then as I was getting into my car, I was like, oh, the smell. Like, what? I wanted to go over and go, what are you doing? But I started thinking, maybe he does this all the time. I don't know why. Why would you do a burnout on your
own drive?
But he must
burnout.
Have been holding it. He must have, unless he's got a line lock or something on that car. But even so.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's what I wanted to go over and just go, excuse me, hi, sorry, I was just at the post office over the road. I just wanted to say, what the fuck? Because it was such an odd thing to do. Like, I mean, the road that he clearly lives on is a quiet, it might even be a dead end.
What an absolute flute.
If you really want to do a burnout, pull out onto the street where at least there's a bit more margin for error. But yeah, a burnout on your own driveway.
Well, not only that, though, there's not a great deal of artistry on a totally static burnout. I'm a big fan of the walking pace and the crabbing effect. And I think I think listeners may agree. You can start it static, but you instantly go into the slow crab. And then if you're careful, you can weave the slow crab down the road and maybe around some street furniture. That's when the real talent helmsmanship comes into play. I'm a big fan of that. And if you're totally committed, which I think is dangerous, but I've seen it happen. You shift gears mid-burnout, which is...
What?
Yeah. First, straight into second if it's a manual, or if it's an auto, you see if you can snick it into another gear. But, of course, then the smoke production just doubles, and the propensity for an enormous accident doubles. So...
Yeah, particularly if you're on your own drive.
Particularly if you're on your own damn drive. Was the drive about the length of the car?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the car was already poking out onto the pavement.
Oh, my gosh.
So possibly the drive was even shorter than the car. I couldn't see whether there was maybe another car behind the Sora. Sorry, it sounds like there's a... Can you hear that?
No.
I think there's a Chinook going over.
Oh, is there?
There's something... There's some kind of bastard big helicopter is passing near my house.
It'll be Steven Seagal.
Can you hear? God, that's really noisy. Wow, I'm gonna look this up on some kind of nerdish app because it is really loud. Anyway, but no, I was suddenly thinking that if you're the Duke of Westminster listening to this, you'll go, why couldn't you do a burnout on your own drive? It's over 4 miles long.
I know.
But no, to clarify, this was a sort of 1930s semi-detached house. With a normal sort of one car-ish length driveway, and so I don't know why you would do
it. You just wouldn't. I won't dwell on either Dark Thunder Zero Blast or the Model Village that I went to, but the one last thing I would say about the Model Village, apart from the fact it's highly recommended, is there's a church, a miniature church with a graveyard and grounds, and at one end of the church is a funeral going on. And they're lowering a coffin into the ground, and there's a hearse with what looks like some flowers near it. And the hearse was totally inappropriate. It was a Honda Odyssey people carrier, which I kept. I just kept sniggering about. I've taken a video of it because I was just so captivated, and doing my duty for you, the listeners. But on the other side of the church, someone was getting married, and inside the church, I'm pretty sure there was a choir service going on. So it was a busy church schedule.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit troubled by the Odyssey. Was that a proper budget funereal situation where you've just got to clear all the seats out of the Odyssey first thing in the morning to get the cadaver in? I don't know.
The Undertaker's really let me down. And have you still got that Honda Odyssey? Or even worse, that it's a mate who's in the car trade and it's not taxed. So it's a Honda Odyssey on trade plates.
Oh, gosh. So it's
taking you on your final journey.
Oh, so it's suckered on the number plate at the back, suckered onto the rear window, dangling with a piece of string. They have those.
Well, there are rules, aren't there, really, about when you're with trade plates, you're not supposed to have passengers.
No. That's true.
But does that include the recently deceased? I don't know.
I think it probably does. Gosh, so many questions.
well, if anyone listening works for, I don't know, who would that be, DVLA or someone?
Yeah, please get in touch. And I was going to say, if anyone's got a Honda Odyssey or wants to buy one, it's just reminded me, if you watched the video on the Late Break Show where I did investigate dry ice blasting, which is an amazing cleaning process, the guy that did it on my car, who's called the Blastsmith, has got an absolutely, look him up on Instagram, he's got an absolutely immaculate Honda Odyssey, which has got like Olin suspension and everything. It's so trick. And he's selling it. And I don't have any need for it because I've got sufficient motors.
Why does it have Olin suspension?
He imported it from Japan as a really high grade import. And so he knew it was minty. And when it arrived, it had like adjustable. Oh, he reckons it's got like 7-8 grand's worth of suspension on it. He said it rides and drives so well. He said it's absolutely lovely.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I know. And I want it for no. I mean, now you've mentioned a Sora, I've sort of thought that was an itch that I never really scratched. I quite like the Sora.
Yeah, I mean, they're still nice looking things.
They are.
I think it's also. I assume they're one of those cars where it would be almost impossible to find a factory spec one.
Oh, nowadays, yeah, completely. They've all gone down the Drifto. I mean, they were a bit of a sort of Michael McDonald unbuttoned shirt, folding nose bridge, easy listening, especially with the slush box kind of motor.
Yes.
And now they're monster stickers, wide arched, stanced.
Raise alloys,
dirty 4-inch tailpipes saga, aren't they? Yeah. Now, with the big drift wand. Carbon drift wand or billet drift wand.
Yeah, they always seem to have a tailpipe that you could get your head into. I don't know why particularly they. I suppose maybe they've just got good clearance on the back bumper. And
it's just a JDM style thing, isn't it? I don't think you need a 4-inch system. No. That's a seriously big system. That's sort of a household sewage pipe, kind of diameter. But
there's going to come a point where the engine's not got enough back pressure to work properly, is it? It's just going to be actually having a negative effect on your Sora. But they do. The 6 makes a nice noise in those, doesn't it, as well?
The 6 does make a glorious noise. That era, for probably all Japanese manufacturers, is probably the finest quality control, longevity, kind of, I guess, engine designs, ultimate efficiency. I think it's just wonderful. Wonderful.
Do you know something really good about those Soras? Our friend Gareth Jones used to have one.
He did. Did he have it from new?
I don't think it was new, but he imported it himself from Japan. He went to Japan and he bought a Sora and a Suzuki Cappuccino and had them shipped back to the UK.
What an amazing duo of vehicles.
I know. Yeah. And the Sora had, not just his, but that shape of Sora, I noticed from riding in his car, had the most incredible door hinges.
Really?
Really, really beautiful door hinges. Like, they were sort of slightly more complicated than normal door hinges. I don't know what they actually did that was different. I don't remember the doors opening in a different way, but they just had this. I think because the doors were so long and heavy, and of course, Toyota couldn't possibly allow anything which would compromise immaculate door fits. So I think they were sort of just.
Was it a pillarless? Was it a frameless door?
No, I don't think it. That's a good question, actually. Now in my head it wasn't, but now I'm not. I couldn't say with confidence. Shall I have a look? I'm going to have a look.
I fancy a Sora. Well, while you're looking up Soras, which is amazing material for podcasts, I'm going to just. We did have back in Feb. An email from a chap called Ollie Ricks, and Ollie's sent us two photos, which I will put it on for the patrons. This appeared on my Facebook feed, and I thought it was appropriate given the recent chat about car-branded cassette tapes and CDs that you could get with a car.
Yes.
Oh, this, the Citroën XM Classic Choice Collection.
Oh.
Have you? You must have seen this, Richard.
I saw this.
What an amazing... So you buy your Citroën XM, and this is the music that they want you to listen to. Single cassette, okay? And I'm just zooming in on the... what's. It's all classical music. The one that troubles me slightly is track 4 on side 1. It's called Rimsky-Korsakov.
Rimsky-Korsakov?
Yeah, him or her.
Yeah.
Yeah, them. And it's from the... I don't know much about classical music. Scheherazade, the Young Prince and the Young Princess Orchestra Symphonie de Montreal, 1984. Oh, that one sounds like it could be strong. But yeah, there's a lot going on here, and strictly not for resale, it says at the end, which I always like. Coming to a car boot sale near you, or most probably landfill. But the Citroën XM cassette. I've got this yearning now. You know when you buy a car, and I think people listening can relate, when you buy a car that you're into, it doesn't have to be an exotic car, and you start to then want to collect paraphernalia associated with it.
Yes, yes.
And I've done that with my Honda Insight, and I'm starting to do it a little bit with my Element.
Are you? Are you paraphernaliaing?
I'm paraphernaliaing because I get off on that. Because, you know, some people, yeah, I meet some people in with the Late Break Show where they collect cars, but they're not so interested in the restoration process or the sort of maintenance themselves. They're interested in the sort of paper chasing and the history chasing and maybe the finding of the odd accessory. So they'll get off on, oh, you know, I got the... What was that? Is it a Citroën Berlingo came with a shopping basket or a...
Oh.
Didn't they come with an accessory shopping basket?
Yeah.
So if you're in the Berlingo world and you've got the accessory Citroën shopping basket, you are the Don. That's it. You've got the piece. And the same with Nissan Figaro owners. There was a couple... If you've got the original cup holders, which were an accessory, or the parking stick wand that stick protrudes from the front bumper. The ultra rare, ultra worth loads of money, stupid money. Mm. They even did an original colour coded tissue dispenser that hung on the on the passenger side under the glove box. I mean, people will pay £3,500 for this stupid plastic box.
What?
Yeah, it's just daft. It's all daft, but I love it. So I'm thinking now, I'm looking for Element shizzle now, but of course most of it ends up coming from the States.
Loads.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
There's loads, now, mate, loads. Yeah.
Jonathan Smith, have I got a car for you?
Oh, talk to me.
This is on Car and Classic.
Oh.
Because it's so fantastic. It's a 1991 Lexus Sora. Well, now, it would be a Lexus SC, wouldn't it?
Yes, it's okay.
Because everyone just rebadges, don't they? But that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's legal tender.
4-litre V8 Z30.
Jingle.
Oh, it does say SC400 in the ad as well. They've been honest about it. It's got Sora badges on. But okay. Anyway, time warp condition, 41,000 miles. It's the 1U ZFE V8 4-litre.
Oh, gosh.
You won't see any Soras for sale in this condition or mileage. They simply do not exist.
Is that what it says in the advert?
Yeah. Yeah,
they do not,
I mean, it does
exist.
Look absolutely factory, though it's got what we would call Lexus backlights, as in those clear backlights that were made popular by the old IS.
IS, yeah, gosh.
And I don't think those are factory on a Sora SC400, but maybe they were, I don't know. Anyway, it looks absolutely minty as anything, 41,000 miles, perfect engine and gearbox, etc. It's a bargain for that engine and mileage alone. Call to avoid disappointment.
Oh,
it's worth more in parts, so please don't send silly offers. I'm not desperate to sell and will wait for the right buyer.
Oh, gosh, really?
Serious buyers always call.
Laying down the law.
It's really quite an aggressive ad.
There's law laying going on. Yeah.
Very low mileage and excellent engine, etc. The writer of this ad is a bit of an etceterist. When I bought it, the gearbox had a hesitant reverse, so the car was taken to an automatic gearbox specialist in Huddersfield. £900 later, it had come back working perfectly, with new parts, etc. So good for another 100,000 miles. They did not need to remove the box. Apparently, it was a solenoid. So you paid £900 for a solenoid.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been reamed there, haven't you?
Done. But anyway, it does look absolutely mega. Now, it is 8,000 pounds, which is
But it's a V8 Sora, right?
But it's a V8 Sora. It look. I mean, they go rotty, I think. That's the problem. I think this is what Gareth's Sora was eventually had to be binned because all the rear arches had gone very frilly.
Did he scrap it?
More. He had to in the end, yeah.
No!
Yeah. It wouldn't. I think it MOT was not kind to it. But, you know, it lived on the street and it was getting quite old. But, yeah, he tried to sell it and then in the end it just had to go. So, but I don't know, or maybe someone had the engine out of it.
Was it a V8 or a 6?
Six.
Oh, man, but, that Sora sounds sweet, sweet car. Now, 8K.
Sweet, sweet car.
You could say 8K strong. On the other hand, you could say that's a car for life.
Yeah.
You buy that car, you corrosion rust protect it, and you give it some, you know, regular maintenance worship. That is a car for life. And you'd be that guy. You'd be Sora guy in your local. So guys in their late teens would know, although it's unmodified, they go, that's to do with the Sora. Does he know what they are? Does he know what he's got there? Yeah. It would throw all these questions up.
I mean, you're right. This, like this, with some slightly fussy alloys on it, It's an enormous sized exhaust, or two exhausts, one either side. Lovely.
Yeah.
This is full Michael McDonald spec.
That's folding nose bridge sunglasses.
Drive this. Yeah, I was going to say, with the wonky folding sunglasses, you would look magnificent in this car. Oh, by the way, I can see from the pictures, they do have window frames on the doors. So
oh, they are framed. Interesting. If I drove
and a
that...
a very interesting shifter.
Is it a Cobra head? What are we talking?
It's not so much a Cobra head as just a... It's just a bit of a stiffy shifter, basically.
What do you mean, a stiffy shifter?
It's just a big tubular thing that
what,
protrudes
it's a dong?
Out
it's
with a
bit
button
dong.
On the end
it's
of
a
it.
Bit dong.
It's a dong. It's a dong shifter. Yeah.
I do know what we still get loads of Chody shift photos.
Oh my gosh, do we ever?
I mean,
now hey, look. On that note, Chody shifters are great. We love those hand dryers. We've had a new. Someone sent something the other day. It was a new hand dryer we've not seen before. Called I don't know, like a sort of Breeze Fox or something. It was just like there's
a
lot of off-brand dryers out there.
It wasn't it very generic?
Yeah, very generic.
There was one called a generic dryer. That was it.
Yes,
that was it.
And somebody, I'm so sorry, I haven't. We'll try and be more organised about it. I think someone sent us one from Australia or South Africa or somewhere that was.
Here we go.
A dryer that looked like it says Porsche, and when you look closely, even though it's using the same typeface, it's not.
What does it say? Piss face?
Something like
Pissy
that.
Pissy
yeah.
hands?
Piss mist. Can I just say, though, we have seen the... there's a thing going around at the moment, MOT testers putting in things they shouldn't to the advisories on people's MOTs.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen this. So on the advisory section, they'll just add, a, you know, it'll sort of say, you know, upper ball joint, slight play, offside rear tyre, marginal tread.
Yes.
And then it'll just say, owner has stupid hair, or something like that. And these are all legit.
Yeah, windscreen obstructed by bad sunglasses.
Yeah, car is horrible colour was, I think, one of them.
Really?
Yeah, they're amazing. And because you can, in the UK, you can check a car's MOT history. And these are just screen grabs of that of those pages. So you can see the reg of the cars. You can go and check that these are not made up. And apparently they're not.
That is amazing.
These are all legit. So this MOT test is just having a bit of fun. But anyway, we've been sent these about 100,000 times now. So we're good. We've seen them. That's cool. We've all seen them. It's great. We've also seen that the Queen's X Type is up for auction.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've entered it because it's for charity. I have entered it. So if I legitimately win, that's... That's our tour vehicle from now on in.
I guess it would have to be, wouldn't it? But
only if we go to Norfolk. It'd be Sandringham spec, would it be?
Then just tip it over.
Yeah, I would tip Sandringham. I'd tip that. I've just found the hand dryer thing. A chap called Stephen Kipping has, and he's put, guys, listen, is this a new level of lazy branding for hand dryers? And it's called generic. The manufacturer, it's trademarked, generic hand dryers, TM. And there's and there's a little logo next to the word generic, which is a lightning strike, which I think is very lazy branding. I'm going to say, is it generic? I don't know. It seems very odd. But thanks for that, Stephen. I don't know if that's the UK or not. I don't know if you're a UK guy. But I've never heard of generic hand dryers. It's still no Mitsubishi jet towel, though, is it?
No, it's not. Just also for context, if people do want to enter the draw for the Queen's X-Type, you've got until the 31st of March. And all the money raised
goes to
Comic Relief. So that's a very good cause. We will be entering multiple times between now and the end
well,
of
March. Well, if we all have a syndicate, then possibly one of us or one of our listeners wins. And we all have a chance of maybe having a go in the Queen's X type.
Dangerous. Yes, I suppose that's it. You open it up to the community.
Monarch spec average Jaguar. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Before we go, one more listener message. It's a serious one, this, from a chap called Will Brown Bolton. Will says, "My friend Chris Wood is a big fan of your podcast. However, at the moment, he's not able to listen. Just over a month ago, while on a work trip to Japan, he suffered a bleed on his brain. He had emergency surgery and his family have travelled to be there with him. Now he's rehabilitating in hospital. He opened his eyes last week, but his consciousness is still not clear as he isn't speaking or reacting yet. We're doing our best to get through to him, and at work we're sending audio messages to hopefully help him find his way back to us." So he's asked if we could do a short message. He's a huge petrol head and has worked in the car industry for Nissan for more than 20 years. So, Chris, this is Richard from Smith & Sniff, here with Johnny.
Hi, Chris.
Come back to us, Chris. We need to speak to you, okay, about matters that are very important, such as spouts and transit.
Or more to the point, if you've been working around Nissans for 20 years, that's about half of the R35 GTR's production length.
Yeah, so, you must have joined Nissan just around the time of the second facelift of that car. So what a momentous time to be joining Nissan. It must have been very exciting to see that going through. To be serious, Chris, we hope you can hear this. We hope that our stupid sounds have brought some flicker of recognition and that you are on the mend. Get well soon, and we hope you are doing okay.
Godspeed, Chris. Take it easy. And thanks for listening to this. I mean, listen, if you're going to listen to anything, I would not listen to this. But
no,
anyway.
I wouldn't either. But it's they do say it's funny with brain injuries and traumas and stuff like that. Sometimes the most banal and small things can bring about some recognition. But dear God, I hope it's not this. I hope it's something better. Anyway, we should stop then. But before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Exfoliate Grape Show, in which Johnny needlessly rubs down soft fruit with expensive skin conditioners this week. He's smearing Yves Saint Laurent Top Secret's Natural Action on some red seedless. If that's not to your taste, there's always The Late Break Show, which has got lots of excellent videos about cars, including a review of the Bid Atto 3, which Johnny's...
The Bearded Atto 3?
Johnny's dressed as Drake. Did you do that deliberately, or did you realise when you got on location that you were dressed as Drake and then decided to just run with it?
I realised, because you're all friends, the shoot was so cold and it was so difficult to shoot. I got there, I wore everything that I had in terms of thermal, and I had so many layers on it. Honestly, it took me 5 minutes to take my clothes off next to the bed that night.
There's one piece to camera when you're standing next to the car, and I suddenly realise you've got your hand in your back pocket. And I was like, why is he doing that? And I was like, oh, it's because he's so cold. You just can't have your hands exposed.
No, and I didn't want to put my hand in my pocket where the mic pack is in case I dislodged it. But yeah, I don't normally do the back pocket. It's interesting what you notice, isn't it?
It's funny because it's
an observant
thing.
Why has
he got one hand in one pocket? Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Honestly, it was so cold, I would have put all of my fingers in my bottom if it stopped me from being numb. But I didn't, because it wouldn't
they
be good.
They cut that bit out.
They cut that bit out. Well, when I say they, I asked for them to cut that bit out.
I think it's all good. Yeah. I just, could you cut out that bit where I've got my fingers in my bottom, please? Because it's just,
yes.
I know I'm talking about the trim levels at the time, but it is distracting.
I'm going through a low patch on camera.
The second thing I've got to tell you is that I've got various books out. One of them's called Boring Car Trivia 3. If you haven't already bought it, go and buy it. And the third thing I've got to tell you is, guess where in Europe makes more small satellites than anywhere else? There's a city in Europe that builds more small satellites.
Small
and in fact,
satellites.
Makes more small satellites than anywhere in the world outside of California.
What?
40% of the world's small satellites, these little things they're just firing into space to do various sort of, you know, housekeeping-y things. One city makes 40% of all of them.
Bruges.
Glasgow.
Really?
They're bossing it with small satellites. And on that deeply, deeply fascinating note, it's time to stop. Thank you ever so much for listening. We will do this all again next week. If you want to send us a message about anything for us to put into our enormous salt storage facility of letters,
hello@smithsniff.com.
And please remember to like and subscribe and leave us reviews, unless you don't like the show, in which case keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Until next week, goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.